The following is a 1250 WTMA special presentation.
This is John Quincy welcoming you to another hour of the History of TMA. As we open up the audio archives and remember the people and events that have been part of WTMA's legacy since 1939. In 2004, our station celebrated our 65th birthday, and part of that celebration included two special editions of WTMA's Morning Buzz that yours truly had the pleasure of hosting, while regular host Richard Todd was on vacation. Over the next 3 hours, we're going to present a condensed version of those two programs, which featured interviews with many familiar voices from WTMA's past. Good morning, I'm John Quincy on News Talk 1250 WTMA, and for the next 2 hours, I'll be singing for Richard Todd, assisted by a couple of former WTMA good guys from the 60s. Jim Diamond and Terry Allen are in the studio. Let's hear it for the WTMA good guys from the 60s. We have some others who will be joining us by telephone as well, so make sure you listen because we've got some nice surprises coming up here on News Talk 1250 WTMA as we remember WTMA. Now, WTMA has been around for 65 years, but a lot of folks here in the Lowcountry remember two things about the radio station. Number one, what it's doing right now as a news talk station. It's celebrating 15 years as Charleston's leading news talk station. But back in the 60s, I don't know the exact date, some people say the late 50s, the early 60s, WTMA turned to a top 40 format and was hugely successful for many, many years playing top 40. They were the 95SX of the 60s and 70s. And oddly enough, 95SX is the former WTMA FM. So we're going to be talking about that with Jim Diamond and Terry Allen. Appreciate you guys stopping by. But first, let's check the traffic and weather together. The weather forecast is from Erin Kinzel in the Live 5 Storm Center, and she's got the latest on what's going on for this Thursday. Hey, Erin.
Good Thursday morning, everyone. Today, another hazy, hot, humid day. 1250 WTMA.
All right, thanks a lot, Erin. Right now, it's 73 degrees, cloudy skies. News Talk 1250 WTMA. And this traffic update, or this weather update, has been brought to you by Advanced Plumbing and Heating, the guys with the penguin on the side of the trucks. They'll do some good work for you as far as plumbing and heating is concerned. Now let's check out the traffic now. Here is Megan Keyes with the latest on the cars and trucks.
Thanks, John. Well, city police have cleared that accident downtown Rutledge and Sumter, so things are still looking good out there. No major traffic problems at this point. I'm Megan Keyes with your News Talk 1250 WTMA First Traffic.
All right, thanks a lot, Megan. We do appreciate it. You know, guys, I missed something for authenticity. I should have said it was 73 degrees at street level. How'd you guys used to say that?
Yeah, it was like WTMA weather, so-and-so-and-so, and the street-level degrees and street-level, everything was street-level.
But you guys were on the second floor. How could you give the street-level temperature when you were on the second floor of the Dock Street Theater?
We faked it.
Estimate, yeah.
Our phone lines are open if you'd like to talk to our good guys this morning. Terry Allen and Jim Diamond from the 60s, 556-1250, 556-1250, or 1-800-737-1250. We'd love to hear from you this morning as we remember the glory days of WTMA radio in the 60s, back when it was a top 40 station. Now, Jim, I believe you worked at WTMA starting before Terry. You were there before Terry came, right?
Yeah, I basically got into radio as a fluke. I was at home and the phone rang, and it was the a teacher at the school I was going to, and she said, "We understand you have a record player. We're having a DJ from TMA coming in and having a record hop. Could you bring your record player?" And I go, okay. So I bring it in, and I'm expecting to see some 6'6" guy. And in walked the program director at that time, Bob Mitchell, 5'2", 103 pounds. You know,
"Hi there, I'm Bob Mitchell with WTMA.
And he's got 97 pounds of records. And I explained to him, "Now, this is my record player." And here I'm a young kid talking to an adult. And I'm saying, "This is my record player, so I would appreciate if you let me use it." And he's going, thinking to himself, well, he gets $50 for the gig, and he doesn't care who runs the record as long as it's decent, you know. So I'm slip queuing the records. That's back when the record would turn under the turntable would turn underneath the record, and then you would release it so that it would sound good. And I would mixing his mic and whatever. And he was watching me, thinking, "Would you like to come by the station and visit?" And I go, "Yeah, I come by." So I came by on a Saturday, and I visited WTMA at that time, which was at 133 Church Street in the Dock Street Theater downtown. And the parking was not too bad back then, because back then there was just a few cars and with the dinosaurs, you know. And we basically, I looked around and saw everything. He said, would you like to come by tonight and put your hands on the control board? Because at that time, TMA signed off at midnight. And I said, me? You know, and so I came by and played. And I did this for like a week or two. And finally, he said, would you like to work one Sunday morning? Me? this goes on and on. I go, fine, you know. And so basically I started, they were looking for a part-timer. And I, like the last 3 months of high school, I was like James Bond going through. And they're talking about, who's this new guy on TMA, Jim Diamond? And as far as that's concerned, I sat down and I said, whose show promo do I use? Everybody had a show promo, you know, who were you going to be? There was a guy named Al K. Hall, Alcohol. L.K. Hall. That was his air name. Okay. And then Bob Mitchell and Doug Randall and some other names. Bob Scott and whatever.
Bob Scott. Right.
And so I said, which do I use? And he hands me another cartridge. Everything was on tape back then. He said, how about do you like Jim Diamond? I went, okay. I don't care. It's like, you know, handing a starving man a hamburger. You want a hamburger? Sure. Anything, you know. And so I started this.
You mean disc jockeys don't use their real names?
Well, sure.
What a loaded question.
Man, we learned something here today.
I think that a lot of it is privacy. They want to use their real name in the phone book and other stuff, yet they don't want people calling them in 3 o'clock in the morning and, you know, giving them a hard time. I don't like what you said on the air. I'm coming down there and I'm going to burn a car in your front yard. You know,
that
stuff
makes
like
a lot
that.
Of sense.
You don't
want
to do
a lot of
that.
Sense. No. So how long were you at WTMA, Jim Diamond?
Well, let's see. I started in weekends in April of 63 to June. And then right out of high school, Bob Mitchell said, now we can hire you full time. And so I worked full time there until August of 65.
This is WTMA. I'm John Quincy sitting in for Richard Todd today. And we're reliving some of the memories of WTMA in the 60s. Terry Allen and Jim Diamond are with me in the studio. Now, Terry, when did you start at WTMA?
Well, let's see. It was end of May, 1965, I had come back from my first year at college. I had gone to Columbia, USC, and had gotten involved with the school station there, worked for a local station, and thought that I would try for a job at the radio station, at TMA, where I, like Jim, always wanted to work. I mean, the job of a lifetime, a dream come true for an 18-year-old. And Doug Randall was program director, and I told him I was coming back at the end of the school year, and he said, yeah. He said, we'll put you in a slot of something. And it turned out 9 to noon was what I did. 9 to noon.
You're not going to go back before that? Don't you remember Paul Playboy?
Of course. Paul Playboy and...
was that Paul Aloysius Playboy?
Let me see.
That's right. Every time we would have a battle of the new sounds, new music, we had someone there who would take your vote. And
right.
And then you were the second Paul Playboy. The first one was Mike Champion.
Mike Champion.
And then all of a sudden he wasn't there anymore, and they had to have somebody. And so you got your feet wet by...
We call it selective memory. But I did some of that too.
Okay, we'll go fast forward. Go
ahead. Okay, no, that's all right. That's okay. It's enlightening. And I took the bus down to work. I mean, you have the luxury of living in the right next.
No, I lived on James Island then.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how'd you get down there?
Huh?
How'd you get to work?
I drove in a car.
Oh,
like
man.
The other 612 people.
Ah, took the bus. Took the bus. And
wait a minute. You were a glamorous WTMA disc jockey.
Yes.
Who took the bus to work.
But it only cost a dime back then.
You could
still buy tokens back then.
Mayor Riley would be proud of you. If he was mayor then, he would have been proud.
I wish we had a bus today for me for him to be proud of me. Yeah. But I took the bus to work, and
working in the radio, nobody knows your face.
No, of course not.
That's
no.
What I mean. You could get away with doing anything.
Absolutely. And I had said, you know, well, I'm from Charleston. I mean, you know, can I use my name? He said, no, you can't. None of our DJs can be local. They all have to be imported from somewhere else. So I became Terry Allen.
Now, wait a minute. I've heard tapes of you being called Dick Clark on the radio.
Oh, that's the second time.
So you came in as Terry Allen, the second time you were Dick Clark, and even though everybody knew by that time who Dick Clark was on American Bandstand.
John, you can't keep a good DJ down.
Yeah.
He always comes back.
That's Dracula.
All right. Terry Allen, alias Dick Clark, and Jim Diamond here this morning here on News Talk 1250 WTMA as we remember the 60 glory days of WTMA and the top 40 format that it enjoyed success with for many, many years.
WTMA, Tiger Radio.
There's more of this special morning buzz replay from WTMA's 65th summer coming up next.
The history of TMA.
Now let's get back to the June 24th, 2004 edition of WTMA's Morning Buzz on the history of TMA.
WTMA, Tiger Radio. Do you remember?
That's Martha and the Vandellas and the mighty TMA. It's called Ready for Love, number 25 this week on our Tigerometer Tune X. 8.5 minutes right now after 9 o'clock on TMA. Clear skies, 46 degrees. Dick Clark, showtime.
Phone 723-6692 to name it and claim it.
Hey now, these are the new beats on the mighty TMA. 21 minutes past the hour of 169 degrees at street level. Everything's all right.
Oh, Chattanooga Choo Choo is done by none other than that great group known as Harper's Bazaar. 7 minutes past 11 o'clock, and welcome into the final Uncle Boo radio show, Graham. All right, no more politics, because we did that last hour. But I just want to point out to the public and point out to Columbia and point out to those sled agents and the makers of those fantastically ridiculous blue laws that at least one person isn't afraid to speak out or lose their job for something that's unconstitutional, no matter if it's in the South Carolina Constitution.
WTMA, Tiger Radio.
And that, of course, is the one and only Boobie Nash. He was with WTMA not only through the latter part of the 60s, but the 70s as well. As a matter of fact, we'll be having a conversation with Boobie Nash coming up after the 8:30 news. So make sure you stay around for that, because you can't talk about WTMA in the 60s without talking about the boobster, Uncle Boob. Now, Terry Allen is with me today, along with Jim Diamond, a couple of old WTMA good guys. And Terry corrected me. He said I should say, instead of saying WTMA, it's the mighty TMA.
Right.
I'm sorry, I forgot.
That's all right.
Well, you know, they also used to call TMA Tiger Men of Action.
The Tiger Men of Action. And what
Remember
exactly
that?
Did that mean, Jim?
This is a family show.
Yeah.
Moving right along.
I'll sit back and let you handle that one.
Jim, why was WTMA so big in the 60s?
I would imagine mainly is the formula that was trying. They were mixing the formula every 6 months, I guess 6 or 8 months. They would try a different kind of formula. But when I started, they were using what was called the Drake-Chenault formula. Now, what that meant, I don't know. It was basically time and temperature, music, and just bam, 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 bam. It was just like a shotgun of music and a shotgun of, or machine gun, rather, of music and promos and station things and people doing things on the air. You talked about Boobie Nash. There was a gentleman who worked at TMA when they started their news department, Mr. Wayne Long. And Uncle Boo would be on the air with Wayne, and they would actually act out that they were having a little cocktail. He had these tapes of ice and things being poured. And they would say, let's put some more ice in there. And, of course, they're playing tapes. And they're laughing and wah, wah, wah. And they're making a big deal about the blue laws and you can't have liquor. We're going to have liquor on the air. Of course, they didn't have liquor. Another announcer who worked back then, his air name was John Smith. You're going to be talking with him later, Dick Andert. He was ready to come into the studio and be a police officer. So he's talking with all these people. Well, I'm in production, which is right next door. And he said, well, we want you to come in and do Granny. Well, at that time, they had a contest called the Granny Giveaway Contest that Charlie Lindsay did the voice. He did the voice of Granny, which was like a high-pitched elderly lady. Well, I could do that also. He said, well, Charlie's down here. Can you do that? I said, what do you want me to do? Well, I'm going to grab these guys and drag them out, and you have to say something at the very end of the story as a zinger. Okay, you ready? And he leaves, and I'm going, I'm standing there, you know, in the production room. So finally, I turned the sound on. I'm listening what's going on, and all of a sudden, Dick walks in. In the meantime, I actually taped this particular thing. He goes in, all right, he's like a police officer. You can't do this. And they walk out. I come in, you know, and I said, well, I don't know where Boop's going to, but I'm certain to wherever he's going, there's going to be a lot of bars And of course, they're laughing. You know, that just, like, the last 2 seconds before I said the word, it popped into my mind. He's going to jail. He's going to see the bars. They're talking about it. And so eventually they came back in and they played the music. They said, that was really great. When did you know you were going to say it? I said, about a second before I said it.
That's the magic of radio. 829 now at News Talk 1250 WTMA, or the mighty TMA, for this next hour and a half as we relive the memories of the 60s with Terry Allen and Jim Diamond and some other surprise guests, including Boobie Nash coming up. Right now, let's check out the traffic. Here's Megan Keys.
Well, we're ending things on a good note.
WTMA, Tiger Radio. Do you remember?
Okay, back to music on the Bobby D. Show. On Sunday Radio, the mighty TMNA. Set to go, James Brown, the famous flames from our survey of the best these foolish things. All on...
WTMA, Tiger Radio.
Sally, go round the roses. The Jeanettes on the mighty TMNA with a solid gold all-time favorite. 5.5 minutes before the hour of 10 o'clock, WTMNA happy time, 70 degrees in the port city at street level.
In Tigertown, it's 9 p.m.
When TMA news ends, TMA music begins.
WTMA.
Tiger Radio.
All right, a few memories from WTMA in the 60s. Just a few seconds of what the radio station sounded like back in the 1960s. I'm John Quincy, and for Richard Todd, the Morning Buzz taking a couple of days off, and in honor of WTMA's 65th anniversary, we are talking about what happened in the past, especially those glory top 40 years that started around 1960. And coming up tomorrow, we're going to have some jocks from the 1970s and 1980s. So please stay with us. If you've got a WTMA memory you'd like to share, feel free to give us a call at 556-1250 or 1-800-737-1250. We would love to hear from you this morning. Also, I'd like to plug our website, WTMAmemories.com. Thanks to folks like Jim Diamond and Terry Allen. We've got some great audio and pictures on the website of WTMA in the 60s, 70s, even some stuff back as far back as the 40s, and more coming in all the time. So feel free to check that out, WTMAmemories.com. Well, you know, you can't talk about WTMA in the 60s without Big Boob, Uncle Boob, or Bob Nash. Either way, you had it. When he went over to WCSE radio after leaving WTMA, they made him call himself Bob Nash. But for people that grew up in Charleston, they'll always remember Boobie Nash. Boobie got a chance to sit in with another former WTMA morning guy, Dan Moon, back in 1991. And had an interesting conversation, and it was so good, I thought you guys would like to hear it again. Here's Dan Moon with a little bit of a cold in his throat, and the one and only Boobie Nash.
My guest this morning to spend a few minutes reminiscing about the mighty TMA in the heyday is... Boobie Nash. Bob, welcome to the show. Glad to have you with us this morning.
Well, thank you, Dan. I was just sitting here, and we've known each other for years, and I was looking at you. I hadn't seen you in a while, and I noticed the gray hair, the puffy eyes, the sagging jaw, the triple chin. You haven't changed a bit, you know?
Not a bit, ever.
You look the same.
Hey, if you want a little dig now, I remember the first time, as a guy that came up to me one time, he said, "You know, do you know that Boobie Nash?" I said, "Yeah, I know, Bob. I'd sure like to meet him," he said. I said, "Well, I think they're doing a thing down so-and-so, a remote type." You know, you did remotes in those days. Anyway, the guy came. I saw the guy a couple of weeks later, and I said, "Did you get a chance to meet Boobie Nash?" And he said, "Yeah, you know, that guy doesn't look anything at all like he sounds on the radio." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "He's a short, sawed-off little thing." You know?
Yeah, everybody thought I was big. You know, something I've got to straighten out. Just the other day, as a matter of fact, someone was talking about the OTMA days, and I happened to say that, well, I'm going to be on the talk show. And they said, "Well, we remember you when you did the patio." And a lot of people think I was the one who did the patio. I came in 1966, and that was just as the patio was ending. And if I'm not mistaken, Dan Moon was the one who did the patio.
That's right.
And I don't know why they think it was me, because I did everything. You know, they buried me, they put me up on flagpoles and everything, but I did not do the patio. And this is a great opportunity to straighten that out, because the guy who did the patio for those years was you.
That's right. Yeah. God, you're going way back here.
Yeah.
Long. You say you got buried one time. Was it Was it by any chance at a drive-in theater?
Yeah.
You know, I was telling that story one time, and maybe you a little different version of it yourself here. Was it by any chance the old Port drive-in theater?
I believe it was one of them, because we buried another guy too, and if I'm not mistaken, it was John Burwell, because they asked to bury me again, and I said no.
Explain to the folks of burying now. This was a Halloween type deal.
Yeah,
out
you
there?
Just go under, and they got a little air conditioner underneath, a little fan, and the thing. The thing that I liked better than that was the water tank. John Trenton was managing the station at the time, and he came up with this idea that we should go down and broadcast 3 hours underwater. And the only guy that could get to do stuff like that was me. I was too dumb to realize he don't do it. So at the Pine Haven Shopping Center, in a tank, underwater, for 3 hours, we broadcast.
Boy, wow. Boy. I've got a good friend of mine on the phone, and I know a gentleman that you know very well, too, that I'm sure will have a few words to say to you. J. Douglas Donahue with the News and Courier.
Oh, my. Speaking of old.
Doug.
Hey, watch it, boy. Listen, I want to get one thing out in the open this morning, because as you have, I've known Bob for a long, long time. I want you to tell, or I want him to tell people, how he got the name Booby.
I'm glad you asked that. I was right on the verge of it, because back in those days, and Doug, you'll remember this, and you probably cringed too, when this guy, Bob Nash, who started calling himself Uncle Booby Nash, came on the air. That was a word that you just didn't hear on the radio very often.
It was associated with sweaters.
Yes.
Well, when people used to ask me, how did you get the name Big Boob, the first thing I would do is start taking my buttons apart, you know, as if to show them something, and they'd go, oh, my. But I wish I had a clever story to tell you, but it happened in Albany, New York, and it was what people were calling one another. You know, you say, hey, Jack, or hey, Bubba, you know, and people in those days up in Albany, New York were saying, hey, Booby this, hey, Booby that. They were calling one another that. And somewhere along the line, they just started calling me Boo. And then because I was short, they started calling me Big Boob. And then from there, it just got Booby, and it just stuck. You know, somebody called me one day and said, you're like a big boob. And I said, I like that. So we kept it, and that was back in 1960.
Well, it's taken all these years now, and Charleston radio audiences have wondered for, 20 years? How about that? And now it's all out in the open. And
oh, I'm sure they've been sweating through those years, just wondering how that, you know, where that came from.
Got some folks on the line with us. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Hey, this is Cheryl Woods. I just want to say hearing Booby Nash on the radio brings back tons of memories.
Ooh.
And when I hear my 12-year-old now calling 95SX and listening to the radio, and now I hear Booby Nash, it just kind of brings it all back to me. And I just want to say how good it is to hear him this morning.
I was going
to
say, it brings back good or brings back bad?
Oh, no, good memories. And memories of my father telling me to cut the radio down and to get off the telephone and quit calling the radio station.
I can't imagine a dad doing that. Did you know,
all sorts of good memories.
You know, speaking of that, you talked about ratings and dads saying turn off the radio and that. And let me tell you about the ratings. And Cheryl, I don't know what years you listened to, but I originally did the nighttime show here when I came. We did a night. And here was the rating that we got. We got 65%.
Good.
Of the whole listening audience of Charleston. But here's the amazing part. 69% of that 65% was adult. Now, I can't answer that. All I can say is the adults weren't very mature in those days. Because we had the original talk show. I was accused of having the original talk show because we only played about 4 records an hour. The rest of the time, we just clowned around.
I don't think adults have changed very much these days either, because I still enjoy listening to those kinds of stations.
Well,
I don't think adults are much more mature these days.
Well, we'll pray for you, Cheryl.
I appreciate it.
I love you.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for calling.
WTMA.
WTMA Tiger Radio.
Tiger Radio by WTMA.
We'll continue with this Morning Buzz Rewind in just moments on the history of TMA.
The history of TMA.
1250 WTMA is taking a break from our regular programming today as we journey back in time to remember the folks and the formats that helped make the mighty TMA a big success in Charleston. Here's more from our June 24th, 2004 Morning Buzz broadcast with yours truly, John Quincy, and some real WTMA legends.
WTMA 1250.
The Mighty TMA. TMA. Did I do it right there, Terry?
The Mighty TMA.
Okay,
Wilson.
Okay.
You got it.
Don't have to say W anymore.
Hooper Paulson, Nielsen rated
number one.
Yeah, I've heard that jingle before.
Dun, 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 dun,
dun. We are reliving the days of the 60s, talking about Boobie Nash and all the other folks that worked at WTMA, a couple of old WTMA good guys. I mean old as just the colloquial, not that you guys are old or anything. You guys are
You're
like Dick Clark,
my age.
Eternally young.
How to hit you with my wheelchair.
All right, let's count gray hairs here.
We've got Jim Diamond and Terry Allen here, and we'll have some more WTMA good guys joining us after 9 o'clock. And, of course, we welcome your phone calls at 556-1250 if you'd like to get in all the fun today. Now, you guys both work with Boobie Nash, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What's your best Boobie Nash story, Jim?
Let's see. My mind sort of comes and goes right now. Did I just tell the story about the on the air drinking and whatever?
Or yeah, you told us.
I've right, already got that.
Already got that way. One.
All right, Terry, what's your best Boobie Nash story?
That's about it for right now.
When Boob first came to the station, came in like a whirlwind. Tapes.
He was Mr. Excitement.
He was. Yeah, he came in and he says.
Little tornado.
Right. We didn't have a total personality type night guy at that point. I mean, he was the first. Uh-huh. And he comes in and he's got all these tapes and he says, he gets all the guys into the production studio in the upstairs of the Dock Street and he says, I make my own sound effects. I make my own background noises everywhere I go and I use all the local guys from the station. So we all crowded in and he would say, okay, I want to get one of clapping. So we all applauded and he would tape that and he would use that on the show. And he said, I want you all to go, oh, and we all did that and he used that. And then cheers. And we did the yay. And I guess somewhere their tapes.
That's where he would always say, thank you, live studio audience.
That's right.
Where came from.
Okay.
And they were all little tape cartridges.
Right. Little tape cartridges. He would use those when he said, yeah, I'm sitting here I'm looking at my cheerleaders, my studio audience with the dresses that go up to here. Or remember that? They all wore the dresses that went up to there or to here. And you always had to mention where that was.
Oh, that's right. Well, when you're on radio, you have to use your imagination.
Absolutely.
Yeah, radio is a lot more fun than TV. It always has been.
Always will be.
Yeah,
that's right.
We've got Terry Allen and Jim Diamond, two former WTMA good guys, as we remember the good times of WTMA in the 1960s.
WTMA, Tiger Radio. Do you remember?
Saturday, Sunday, TMA turns solid gold. It's a holiday blast. Then Monday, hear all the hits from 67.
It's going to be an interesting weekend, friends, not only on the radio, but where I am. I'll tell you that right now. 11 o'clock, 6 before 11. That lemonade is getting to me. It's good thing Sled don't raid this place, I tell you.
Get your answer in today on a postcard to Golden Backward Song, WTMA, Charleston. On the Mighty TMA, here's another record that's out of this world.
WTMA, Tiger Radio.
John Quincy here with Richard, Richard Todd, along with Jim Diamond and Terry Allen, a couple of WTMA good guys, Mighty TMA good guys from the 1960s. And we welcome your calls this morning with your WTMA memories. We've got Dennis on the line right now. Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning, Dennis.
What do you think about WTMA back in the good old days?
You know, it's amazing because it brings back such memories. And I was so excited. I've been anticipating the show for some time now. And I was thinking back to, I don't know, sometime around 67, I guess it was, when you guys were running an on-air promo. And I believe, if I remember the name correctly, the DJ at the time that I made my phone call was Charlie Brown.
Charlie Brown, yeah, I remember Charlie.
And it was a baseball promo, and you got to call in and pick what the TMA DJ was going to hit at this particular time. And I remember calling, and at this time it was the old rotary phones, which I'm glad I'm talking to somebody who remembers what a rotary phone is.
Oh, yeah.
So it wasn't easy to call in and get in, and I can remember dialing and dialing and finally getting through.
Speed dialing didn't exist back then.
No, absolutely not. Call waiting, none of that good stuff, right? And I can remember my father saying, since it took you so long to dial through and to get
in. If you got through, God loved you.
Yeah. Go through and go all the way. So I said, okay, I believe they're going to hit a home run, which they actually did, and I was excited to win $4.
Wow. $4 back then, you could make a payment on your car.
Yeah, it was great. I thought I had all the money in the world, and all my friends, of course, were listening to TMA and heard me at that time. And
where were you living then?
We were living in North Charleston off Dorchester Road.
Okay.
And just one of those memories that I've carried all these years. And
did you keep the $4, or did you spend it?
No, I'm sure that $4 went very quickly.
He invested it, and now he owns half of Mount Pleasant today.
Yeah, well, at that time, there was a 7-Eleven that was newly built around the corner, and our big thing was to go over there and get Icy's. I'm sure I bought all my Icy's, and that went away in a hurry. But
I wanted to say that
one of my prized records in my 45 collection, which also you guys will know about, is the Mighty TMA bumper music, or whatever you called it at that point in time. And the flip side is Charleston, my hometown. So
you got a collector's item.
It's on an orange label with a tiger.
Exactly.
You know, I think we're going to play that here in just a few minutes.
A
as a matter of fact,
They used to play that on the jukebox down at Labraska's, down on right across. You remember that?
Nice Italian song.
That's right. Making you an honorary TMA good guy for the day, Dennis.
Well, thank you.
And Dennis, I'm going to make you a member of the Jim Diamond Beatles Club also.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
Great.
I don't have any cards, but we'll have to fake it.
There are probably some Beatle wigs out there still.
I think
you gave away Beatle wigs on the show.
I think mine's all moldy by now. Either that or it's turned gray. It's still
alive.
You
mean that's not what you're wearing?
No, that's real mold.
Oh, okay.
Dennis, well, thanks so much for calling.
Thanks, Dennis.
Thanks for all the memories.
Have a good one.
TMA, as a matter of fact. Yeah, let's go ahead and hear just a little bit. Well, let's hear the whole thing of the WTMA Sound of Success song on that orange label. Madeline's got the turntable in the other room cranked up. Hopefully it won't skip.
I hope the needle's nice and sharp.
I hope so, too.
Sammy Sonifox is coming up.
You want to talk it up, Terry?
Oh, yeah. Mighty TMA, Charleston. We are number one.
Tiger Radio.
They used to play this before the news, didn't they?
You know how they did that?
Yeah.
They took a microphone and put it next to the guy's throat and brought the music into his mouth, and he would mouth the words, and it picked up that sound.
They call that a sonobox. Yeah, sonobox. Yeah.
And years before that, they did just the opposite. They took a little speaker and put it next to the throat and coming out of the mouth. That didn't work. It did it the other way around.
Yeah. Technology. What a concept. Here we go one more time. You love that, Terry, don't you?
I love it. That's my song.
For some reason or another, I smell cigarettes and floor wax. I'm at the Dock Street Theater again.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, stand by for news. Coming up next here on the Mighty TMA, your good guy, John Quincy, along with Terry Allen and Jim Diamond.
Yabba dabba doo. With AM and FM.
Oh, yeah.
Mighty TMA, WTMA, Tiger Radio.
Coming up, more of this special 1250 WTMA flashback on the history of TMA.
The history of TMA.
Let's jump back into the WTMA time-traveling DeLorean, expertly disguised as a beat-up radio station van, as we return to June 24th, 2004. Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. John Quincy here, and for Richard Todd, that's not the usual morning buzz music. We decided to take a trip in the WTMA or the Mighty TMA Wayback Machine, a little instrumental version of Charleston, My Hometown, a record that was customized for WTMA and sold in record stores. Or did you guys give that away? Was that My Hometown? Was that given away?
Both.
Both?
Okay. While we couldn't give away, while we couldn't sell, we gave away.
We couldn't steal, we gave away.
That's right. We've got a couple, actually three of the WTMA good guys from the 60s, Jim Diamond, also Terry Allen, and Charlie Bird Lindsey has joined us.
It's the Charlie Bird Lindsey Show.
Charlie works nowadays at WTMZ, one of our sister stations. He just got off the morning show, and thank you for coming over to the Mighty TMA.
I'm tickled, pleased, and proud as punch to be here, John.
Now, Charlie, how did you come to work at WTMA? We heard about these guys. When did you start?
I was out of work. I was at WQOK in Greenville, and there was this record guy, And he knew I just loved TMA. I thought it was one of the eminent, is that the correct word?
Yeah.
One of the premier top 40 stations in the South. Always wanted to work at TMA. So he said, hey, they got a job opening for afternoons at TMA. Call Doug Randall. And I said, oh, yeah, sure, right. I thought he was pulling my leg. Well, Doug Randall called. I said, you have him call me. He called me at home, sent an air check. And in about 3 weeks, I joined the staff. I came down without any guarantee of salary. You know, just hooked up the little trailer and boogied on down to the big sea of the Carolina coast.
Now, how long were you at WTMA?
There that night that I was there until they ran me off, which is about 63 to about 1965. Something like
who
that.
Who was there that night that showed you the board? I want to tell them that story.
Danny Knox.
Danny Knox.
Well, who was the night guy. Went out on a Sunday evening.
Right.
And he said, get in here and play with the board. And showed me all of this stuff. And then...
And you started playing around with cartridges. Remember that?
Right.
And I used the Fred Flintstone Yabba Dabba Doo during my show. And at that time...
I hope we're not going to tell the true story.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell the whole thing here. I'm going to say... Charlie's going to get embarrassed. At that time, Charlie's wife, Pauline, was with him at that time. She was sitting in a chair behind the door. She was pregnant with Jill, their first child that time. I didn't know she was there. He's there playing cartridges, and they're playing Yabba Dabba. Well, I'm downstairs, and I've been out having some fun with one of the other guys, and he said, why don't you go up there and pull his leg? Act like you're drunk or something. Well, tell WTMA was upstairs and you had to go up the stairs. And I'm hearing all this yabba dabba doo. And I come up and I go, nobody with my yabba dabba doo. To this day, Charlie really thinks that I really was drunk. I didn't drink that. I don't drink that.
You didn't?
No.
Boy, welcome to TMA where all of the good stuff's gone.
Charlie Bird Lindsay, and now joining us via telephone from Savannah, Georgia. I am so excited to be talking with this guy. If you go to WTMAmemories.com, you can see his picture on the website. I worked with this guy in Savannah back in 1980 and 81. It's Bill Edwards, ladies and gentlemen. Bill Edwards.
Welcome.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Billy.
Blast from the past.
Hey, Bill, when exactly were you at WTMA?
It was the summer of 67.
All right.
I was just finished my freshman year at Ole Miss. My dad had lived in Charleston since I was about 10 after my parents divorced. And he happened to be friends with Dave, they were looking for somebody to do some news for them. And back in those days, you know, you weren't on 24 hours. We signed on at 5 in the morning. They wanted somebody to do an air shift from like 5 to 6, but then do some news the rest of the day, because the news director, a fellow named Wayne Long, was doing one of these promotions that they came up with, where they were going to be driving around in a car for a month. It was just a big advertising promotion. The idea sprang forth from this guy like a fountain as far as promotion goes.
Wow.
And so they were driving around in this car for a month, and they would stop, you know, they different restaurants that they would stop in to eat, and supposedly it was a big promotion for the car dealership, for the places where they ate, and we'd do live reports throughout the day, and they'd tell where they were, and had the logos all over the car, and, you know, the kids, you know, I mean, the TMA was the premier rock station at that time.
It was huge. It was incredibly huge. So you were just there for the summer.
Yes.
All right, and you did basically news. You weren't a DJ, or
did news? It did the DJ work from 5 until 6, and did some wind and pulled some weekend shifts, and then we did an hourly newscast every hour on the half hour.
Now, was that your first job in radio?
It was my first, yeah, in commercial radio. Yes, I was had been working at the campus radio station at Ole Miss, and had worked at the local station in Oxford, Mississippi, where the university is located. At the big SUH, WSUH, and then that was the first job of in a major market. Yes,
a major market, Charleston. Well, yeah, I guess so. It was certainly a major radio station.
Hey, I was born there. What do you mean making fun? I was born in Charleston.
We're the top 100. Plus?
Well, compared to Oxford, Mississippi, you know, Charleston was pretty good stuff.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Well, yeah. WTMA was indeed huge. Who are some of the folks that you work with besides the folks you mentioned at WTMA?
The icon of the time, it was Charleston had never had a radio personality before, and a guy came to town named Uncle Booby Nash.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And my friends sometimes refer to him when I played some air checks for him at college with Uncle Booby Hatch, but the great Boob, as we called him, was one of the guys that we worked with. Dick Andert was another guy that worked the mornings.
Was that Doug Brandel?
Yes.
Okay. This is Jim Diamond. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Jim.
How are you?
All right. About yourself, sir.
Yeah, okay. You said you never did an air shift per sale. I have a picture of you behind the control board.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Do you remember that
shift.
Picture?
Yeah, I sure do.
I took that picture. It's on the website.
Oh, outstanding.
There he is.
This is amazing. It's just great. It's great to hear from you guys. I have that great summer opening that Dave Lloyd was the program director and did the morning show with me at the time when I was doing the news in the mornings.
Once you left WTMA, where'd you go?
Well, I went back to college, and then was a pre-med major at the time. And after a couple of courses in organic chemistry, I decided that broadcasting was a much better route to take. You're talking to a frustrated thoracic surgeon.
Oh, my.
And so I went into broadcasting, and then got a job at Channel 4 there in Charleston right out of college. I was there at CIV from 1971 to 75.
Wow.
Doing sports and
you had a great face for radio.
I certainly did, and getting better all the time, as a matter of fact. but if at least fortunately I don't have a voice for newspaper, so I can at least keep that end of the bargain going. Worked there in television, then worked with the Myrtle Beach Chamber of Commerce for a little while, then came back to Savannah in the summer of 77, working at a TV station here, and for about then, ever since then, I've been doing either television, sports, or radio.
And you're working at a radio station in Savannah right now, aren't you?
Yeah, News Radio 1290, WTKS. We make fun of the liberals for 4 hours every morning.
Oh, yeah, cool. We do the same thing.
Oh, good. Yeah, I know. It's great. It's like shooting fish.
You don't really have to do that. They make fun of themselves.
Bill, what do you remember most from working at WTMA? What's your best WTMA memory?
I think just the great people. It was so much fun working there with guys like Jim Diamond, and Ron Childers was another guy that was there at the time, and Booby Nash was just one of the most terrific people to work with. He was so funny personally and professionally. All sorts of rumors flying around about, you know, how he came to work hopelessly drunk all the time and that sort of thing, and that's the reason he was so good. It was absolutely untrue. I never saw Boob inebriated.
Did you ever work with Wayne Long?
Yes, he was the news director.
That's what I mean. He was
the guy I sat in.
He was
with
Mr. Comedy.
Wayne was hysterical. He was one of those guys just naturally. In fact, it was so much fun to listen to Wayne tell you about a movie, because usually his description of the movie was much better than the movie itself. Wayne was a lot of fun to work with. It was great. It was great people, and it was great fun, and it was fun working out of the old Dock Street Theater building.
Bill, the parking was terrible, but other than that.
Oh, yeah, but when you come to work at 5 o'clock in the morning, parking ain't a problem.
Oh, yeah, well, you've got it.
Yeah. Bill, this is, I don't know what name to throw at you here, because I've had so many. I don't even know who I am today. I've got to look at my wallet, at my driver's license. I started TMA as Terry Allen, and then I went into service, came back, and I became Dick Clark. And worked weekends, and I think probably you left before I came in there, because I don't remember working with you, but I remember listening to you. I just wanted to say hello, and thanks for sharing the memories. I remember.
You still have the same crew cut, or did you let your hair grow?
I let the hair grow just a little bit, but not a lot.
Yeah, you don't want to look too liberal or anything.
That's enough to
comb it over, but it's turned white, but fortunately it ain't turned loose. So
that's great.
I love Charleston. My dad moved up there when I was 10, so it's been like a second home, and I loved working up there.
All right, Bill, thank you so much for calling from Savannah, and next
thanks
time you're in
me.
Charleston, please come by and see the new WTMA.
We love the place.
Come by and check out the kiosk at Citadel Mall, because there are pictures of you in there.
We have to promote that, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
Madeline did a fine job.
Madeline
together.
Did a great job.
Super. Are you still
she
on the
didn't do anything
site?
That was fine, but I mean, this is magnificent.
No,
have
we...
Have you still built the studios at the transmitter site, or have you got a new building?
Luckily, we have a new building.
All right,
we have a new state-of-the-art facility in North Charleston on Favorite Place Drive, right off Leeds Avenue, which is right off I-526.
You've heard of Star Trek: The Next Generation?
Uh-huh.
This is where we are.
We are in a massive complex.
It's beautiful.
Wow. We've got a pretty nice place for us down here, too.
8 radio stations in one building. Bill, thank you so much. I do appreciate the call, and I'll chat
great
with you later.
You
okay?
Thanks, Bill.
Bye, Bill.
Thanks,
Bill.
Bye,
Bill.
Bye.
We're going to talk to another WTMA DJ from the early 60s, very early 60s. His name is Mike West. We're going to be chatting with him coming up in just a little bit. More of the WTMA Memories 1960 show coming up in just a bit right here on Everybody Together Now.
The Mighty TMA.
For the biggest sound, 4 miles around that Charleston tune.
There's more of this morning buzz encore from the summer of 2004 coming up shortly. This is WTMA historian John Quincy. Man, if you'd like to find out more about our station's past, check out this website that I've put together for you. It's WTMAmemories.com. It's full of dozens of rare audio recordings and interviews from the last few decades. Plus, you could see what those people you used to listen to on the radio really looked like. It's scary. That's WTMAmemories.com. And don't forget to keep listening to the Charleston radio station that continues to make history, as well as talk about it. 1250 WTMA.